Good afternoon and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet and I'm here in the studio with Laurent Landis and Patty Fink. And, last week we were talking about suicide. We're going to talk a little bit more about that, teen suicide. And a couple of other things, some newsy type stuff has happened this week. And we found this interesting little item. Laurent.
A new poll. Am I turned on?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there I am.
Yeah,
okay.
You're there.
A new poll, a Lyceum poll, apparently says that most Texans favor some type of legal recognition of same-sex couples. Mm-hmm. And I just find it hard to believe.
Do you know this is the second year in a row?
And
for
it's
that.
Supposedly the second year in a row that that number has come out in our favor.
Right. What the Lyceum poll is. Lyceum is an Austin-based polling group, and they track in Texas the same things that's going on nationally. So what they do is, let's say a Gallup poll is polling what percentage of people believe in some recognition of gay and lesbian relationships. They'll use the same question that Gallup did or that some other organization did, and they'll poll Texans on the same thing so that they can say, well, nationally we have 60% and in Texas we have 55% or something.
But you know, this doesn't really surprise me. Because when I speak with a lot of straight Texans,
mm-hmm.
who voted for this amendment in 2005, they regret it because they did not understand, because of the way it was marketed, basically, and campaigned,
mm-hmm.
that it meant no legal recognition, no civil unions, no domestic partnerships, no marriage. They were supporting traditional marriage,
mm-hmm.
and they did not even realize that it was...
It was just banning everything.
Banning everything.
Right.
Well, I don't know. I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Do you think this? I'm in the same situation in that the straight people that we know and the straight people that we communicate with and talk to, they will say such a thing. But what about those many that we don't talk to?
Well, that's why we need to talk.
And we do. We do. But I don't know.
That's the crux of the matter.
I'm clearly being pacifist here, but I
well,
just...
Well, the way the poll comes out is that more people believe in civil unions than in marriage, and what the question is do you believe in some legal recognition for same-sex relationships?
Correct.
And to some people, that could even just be domestic partnerships. In other words, what this is really finding, I think, is that most people who work in any kind of a larger company, medium-sized company even, work with somebody who's gay. You know, Patty, you work in a medium-sized company, I guess.
Yeah, we have about, I don't know, we're maybe four digits in employees.
Oh, okay, you're even over 1,000. Oh, that's bigger than I thought. Okay, I thought you were in the hundreds, but... Okay,
so, plus, minus.
Okay. And a lot of them know you, though.
Mm-hmm.
And they know you and Aaron. And they might be the most staunchly conservative, the most whatever.
Oh, indeed. I work with people who are very, very conservative.
But I'll bet that they support, if you need insurance for Aaron, she can get it. And I think that's what they're really answering. That's what they're really thinking that is the relationship that you're asking for now. Because a lot of companies are offering those kinds of things, and lots of people work with people who need recognition.
If the questions are broken down like that,
Broken down like that. It's just that same national question. Do you believe in any sort of recognition for same-sex relationships?
No, I think Laurent's right. It's not A. It's A to B to C to D.
Mm-hmm.
Because legal recognition, people don't translate that to health care benefits. I mean, they really don't. When they
really
think
don't.
About it, they're thinking about a man and a man and a woman and a woman standing in front of an altar. That's what they picture. And on top of a wedding cake. That's what they think about. Do we want to sanction that? Ew, ick.
Well,
that's what's really going on.
I don't know. I think a lot of people who work in a company that recognizes domestic partnerships, I think when they're saying, yes, I support some sort of recognition, it's not even really a civil union that they're recognizing or thinking in their minds. They're just thinking a domestic partnership because, at work, I know Patty and Aaron, and I don't mind if they get those same benefits that we do.
But see, I don't think they make
you
that
don't
connection.
Think they're making
I don't
connection.
Think
okay.
anybody makes that connection, really, because they, when you talk to people about what the legal recognition means to us, and we start talking about benefits and taxes and all of that sort of stuff, they're like clueless, absolutely clueless, that that's what it means to us.
I concur with you, Patty. There's something I chuckle at. I work with people who they always think that Danny and I can both claim Gabrielle, and I have to correct them. No, we can't.
Right. There's a
and they're like, oh, really? Why? Because we're not legally married. Well, we're not. Our marriage isn't recognized in Texas.
Right. Exactly.
So and they don't make the connection.
And the federal government doesn't recognize.
The federal government doesn't either.
They're stuck on the cake toppers. Mm-hmm. Really. You know. I mean, right. That's really what they're focused on.
Mm-hmm. But LaRon works with some very conservative people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll bet those conservative people, you're wondering, now, what the poll showed was...
I'll give you the breakdown. 28% of respondents said that they support same-sex marriage. 22% say they support civil unions. 40% say they oppose any legal status, with the remaining 8% undecided.
Okay, so I think what they're really saying is, especially the 22% with civil unions who are saying it's okay, I'll bet some of those conservative people in your office are thinking, but LaRon has a kid, and we really do need to protect the kid. So maybe some sort of recognition.
I think you've given some of them too much credit.
I think you have too. I think way too many people are, well, you have to have the conversation about, and when I say what marriage would mean to us, it's not just the benefits and such, but it is a lot, the benefits, because there are, you know,
but LaRon
well
works
over 1,000.
But LaRon works in a really conservative office, and he has had that conversation. When they've said to him, oh, you're just real lucky because both of you can deduct her. No, they can't.
No, we
and
can.
They've had the discussion with them. So I think a few of them have made the connection and said, yeah, maybe some sort of because a majority does support some sort of recognition.
Here, I'll meet in between the both of you. I think unless a straight person has had that conversation with a gay lesbian person, they're not thinking about it and they're not making a connection.
I agree. Because I think you have to have the conversation to get the connection.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's when people are denied.
Well, some are. I haven't talked to everyone in my office, but some.
I mean, when you are denied, for example, legal action, when you're denied rights and benefits and privileges, that's when people register, oh, well, they were denied that, and they read in the newspaper, they hear on the news that they were denied it because Texas doesn't recognize any sort of relationship. Then they go, oh, wow,
mm-hmm.
A to D, they get it.
Mm-hmm.
They jump to that connection between all of it. But I don't think that comes innately with...
I'm not saying it's innate. I'm saying we got 50% right now. Where did it come from? I think it came from, in part... I don't think people in LaRon's office suddenly went from, we hate all of those people, to, oh, yeah, let's recognize LaRon and Danny's marriage. I don't think it got to that. I think with a few of them, it did get through that, yeah, they need some sort of legal recognition.
And then there's the other aspect of time always helps. This was 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Five. 2005 is when mm-hmm. we had ours. So in 5 years, of course, it hasn't left the news. If anything's been cranked up in the news. More states have passed some type of same-sex recognition of same-sex couples. So that has helped also.
Well, I think there's probably a ground-up percentage in there somewhere of people who just kind of get it and say, hey, I think people are equal, and I ought to be treated equally. And they don't think about the cake toppers or the laws.
I think those
the benefits.
Those are a lot of the ones who got the 28%. I'm talking more the 22% who are in the civil union category. I think those are the people in LaRon's office who, yeah, but he has a kid. Ooh, the kid needs some protection. And so in his case especially, you know, but he's such a, but he has the kid. Yeah, and so, okay, some sort of legal recognition.
Well, and here's another problem with the general electorate, the general public. just ask around, just random people, how many people actually believe that it's you can't be fired in the state of Texas simply for being gay.
Right.
And they think that law's already there. They think it's there federally. They think you can take an EEO complaint when you get fired because you're gay and win. And we say, no, there is no law. Mm-hmm. There's no law. There's no law in Texas. Now, if you live in Dallas, the city of Dallas, or you live in the city of Fort Worth, you can't be fired simply for being gay.
Well, you can, and the company will receive a fine. I mean, it's not a very strong law. Of course they can, but there would be a complaint filed against them. And
yeah, but the city of Dallas and the city of Fort Worth have said, this is unacceptable in our cities. This is unacceptable.
But on a statewide level and a national level.
They think it's there.
They think it's there. Again, it's one of those revelations that I kind of chuckle at, because in their minds, which is a good thing, they're thinking discrimination is discrimination. You can't not hire or fire somebody for anything. Well, and that's a good thing.
And that's a good thing. But they're also saying you're wanting something extra and special because it's already there.
Exactly.
You're being treated
they
just
think
like
it's
everybody
already there.
Else. And it's already there. So what are you griping about?
And it's like, it's not there.
Yeah. And there's this revelation when you tell them,
Well, there's also a misunderstanding with that. They think that it only applies to the minority. So if you're a Christian, Christianity is a majority in this country, so you can't fire somebody based on their religion if they're Jewish or Muslim or Hindu. But the Jewish employer can't fire the Christian employee because he doesn't like his religion either.
Right.
You know, it goes both ways. Sexual orientation would work both ways, too.
But they don't think it does.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But me as a gay employer can't fire you, the straight employee, either, if we had that, because everybody has a sexual orientation. So what you're protecting is the category, not this class of people as opposed to that one.
But what I think is really interesting, you know, I subscribe to all this right-wing stuff.
Mm-hmm. And it drives Aaron crazy.
And it drives Aaron crazy.
But that's a good thing that you just subscribe to.
Yeah.
You got to watch him.
It is.
It's a good thing that she drives Aaron crazy.
Well, Aaron finds ways to drive me crazy, too.
I'm sure she does.
But lately, you've been seeing every time Enda comes up in the news, and certainly with congressional action, whether it's hearings or votes or whatever, the Family Research Council and others like them are glumming on to this argument that you don't want to be able to have cross-dressers in your workplace. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really interesting that they've moved to the gender identity argument and off of the sexual orientation argument. And they've been off of, they haven't done the sexual orientation argument in a long time.
I'm wondering, though, if they just think that people are going to be confusing the two issues anyway, so that's a good way to...
Oh, I'm sure they're exploiting that as well, but they're not... They're going after the gender identity inclusion rather than the sexual orientation, mm-hmm. which to me sounds just more strategic on their part rather than fundamental to their core beliefs, because they really don't want those homosexuals in the workplace either.
No,
they just don't want to know they're there.
Yeah.
They want us to feel shame and go back in the closet and be hidden, and they can feel superior then.
Well, I just think maybe the transgender issue, even for our own community, we've said this before, it's just something they just really don't get. You know, there was an episode of Family Guy. And I forgot the neighbor's name, but his dad, they suspect that he's gay. he doesn't want to believe it. And his dad is like a former Navy service guy or whatever, and an officer. And he finally confronts him. He's like, Dad, are you gay? He's like, no, I'm not gay. But I'm a woman. I'm going to have a surgery. And then the guy goes, oh, come on, just be gay. So it's like... that's a whole other ball game,
right?
For
right.
so many people, you know, being transgender, mm-hmm. and again, a lot of people in our community don't even get it.
Oh yeah, there's tons of people in our community who don't get it. Gender identity expression.
But the Family Research Council or any of these extremist organizations, they're exploiting the fact that we call ourselves the GLBT community. They're part of our community. lesbians are part of our community, gay people, bisexuals,
right,
and transgender. We're all one big community. They're just exploiting that. Well, if you're one community, so you're all cross-dressers, right?
Oh, yeah, that's what it is. So, yeah, well, that, yeah. I think what they really want to do is to take, say, the gay and lesbian population at 5 to 12% of the population and focus on the 1 to 2% who are transgender and really, like, even further marginalize a minority. I think that's really what their strategy is, because they've had a hard time marginalizing. And I think it's interesting. I read today that Southern Baptists make up 6.7% of adults in this country. And I think we far outnumber Southern Baptist adults, or at least match them.
And that always brings up something that's interesting. You know, they always say, oh, well, you're only 3% of the population. You're only 5% of the population. What percent do you have to be before you're not discriminated
against? Before you're treated like an equal human being.
Right. Does it matter if you're the only one?
All right. Exactly.
So we just don't do that. Anyway, Lyceum poll. 28% of Texans believe that gays and lesbians should be allowed to marry their same-sex partner. 22% believe in some sort of recognition. It says in the article you're looking at, Laurent, civil unions, I believe the question was a little bit broader and could just include domestic partnerships, some sort of legal recognition. 40% oppose any, and that part is not surprising, but maybe what's surprising is that amendment, when it passed 5 years ago, passed by 75%. Now only 40% are actually opposing. That's a huge shift.
Right. And it comes back to, gosh, I can't think of the guy's name, at 538.com. That predicted then by 2018 we would have full marriage equality in the state of Texas.
So
because of that shift.
But 2018 for Texas.
And I think a lot of that may have to do also with changing generational gaps, because young people today don't really see color, they don't see religion, they don't see sexual orientation or gender identity. And these kids are growing up and they're voting, and that demographic keeps moving forward.
Right.
And it's really the 65 and older, and in some cases 50 and over, that are likely to vote against us. So it's constantly moving.
But 50% being in favor of some sort of legal recognition is a huge threshold to pass, especially in this state, which prides itself in being reactionary.
Well, what it tells me politically, too, is that the action, when it comes time to do something, the first thing in an independent action has been shown across the United States, where these challenges have been put on the ballot and they're dealing with more than one issue, then they get thrown out. We would have to repeal Proposition 2 as an amendment to our Constitution in Texas.
Unless it's just declared unconstitutional.
Right, unless it's declared unconstitutional. It would have to literally, it was put on, we have to take it off, not edit it. We can't edit it in a vote.
So we'd have to take it off and then go and file something again to get some type of recognition.
Now, I'm not a lawyer, but, that sounds, or an attorney.
Yeah.
So that's something that would probably have to be ferreted out. But I think you would have to take it off and then add an amendment that states what you want it to state.
Okay.
Or add nothing.
And you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet. I'm here in the studio with Patty Fink and Laurent Landis. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
To be informed of national issues and take part in local events. Listen and call in Monday through Thursday starting at 7 a.m. You can find an open forum for your voice to be heard on the Voice of the People. KNON 89.3 FM.
On 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the Voice of the People.
Welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laurent Landis and Patty Fink. Patty, you had an interesting, odd story.
Yeah, it's in the news this morning about a gay pride march in Serbia that took place just in the last several hours, actually. About 1,000 people marched in a gay pride parade, and they were protected by nearly 5,000 officers. And so far the count's up to about 120 people injured because anti-gay protesters are fighting the police. The police are struggling to protect these marchers. But I think it's interesting from a country that has been, you know, basically devastated over centuries, if not decades, with racial, ethnic, religious intolerance. So it doesn't surprise me terribly that some segment of the population would come out and try to attack gay people trying to march, because the level of hatred and intolerance in that society is huge.
Well, it was one country that broke up into how many? Seven different countries just on ethnic?
Right. And it's, so I kudos to those brave marchers.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And this is their first Pride parade ever?
No, they had one in 2001.
Oh, okay.
But there were injuries at that one as well.
Okay.
So,
well, that's anyway. A big gap, 2001.
And there may be some in between. I couldn't find any accounts of them since. That was their first one, and this is what's happened to this one today.
Mm-hmm.
So, very, very interesting.
Well, and some local news. We were just talking about the issue of transgenders being part of the LGBT of our community and how many of us in our own community don't even get it. Well, there's a student at North Dallas High School, not far from here in the studio, Andy Marino, female transgender student, has been nominated to run for Homecoming Queen and has been told that she can't run for Homecoming Queen, but can run for Homecoming King from the principal. Now, this has sparked much debate, again, within our own community even. So I just thought we could discuss and see what you guys think about it.
Okay, I met Andy on Thursday.
Okay.
And, you know, she is like polar opposite from all of these kids. We've been talking about suicide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last week we spent the whole show talking about suicide of gay teens. And she is the polar opposite. Her family supports her. In fact, it was her sister who had originally called me, and she was talking about her sister, Andy. Not her brother, her sister, Andy. Her mother was helping her make campaign posters for Homecoming Queen. Her younger brother, who's 14, her mother asked, you know, are you worried about bringing friends home? And he said, no, why would I be? The reason she's running for Homecoming Queen is because her other friends are running, too.
And her friends nominated her.
Other friends nominated her, right. This is just, nobody ever told this girl that she can't do anything. She is the type of person who, well, I want to do something, sure, I'm going to go do it.
Right.
She said she's never been bullied in school. She chose North Dallas High School because it's known for diversity and tolerance.
It is.
And it is, North Dallas High School's in Uptown, so mm-hmm. in a big, diverse neighborhood. But nobody's going to stop this kid. Now, what happens is on Monday, it'll get down to three finalists for Queen, three finalists for King. And there's a transgender person running for King, too. Whole other story.
Female to male?
No, male to female, but running as a male. Just because they decided to do it that way. So we'll get down to the final three, and we'll see if Andy gets into the final three and if she's excluded.
Now, wait. I thought that she wasn't even allowed to run yet.
Oh, the voting was last week. So the voting for the finals was last week.
So they let her run as
what happened
queen?
Was the students, it was basically a write-in ballot. Your ballot said King, Queen, you wrote a name.
Right.
On Tuesday, people wrote Andy's name. She seemed to be ahead. Wednesday, people were handing in their ballots, and the assistant principal was saying, no, you can't vote for her. Choose somebody else. Some kids did. Some kids said, I'm not voting for somebody else. Now, you and I were talking about this, and...
Well, before the show, we talked about it, and, you know, my opinion is absolutely let her run. This is something, it's not like for office, it's homecoming, for crying out loud. And it's for and by the students. And if the students don't have a problem with it, why should us adults stand in the way? If they don't want to vote for her because she is transgender, then that's their prerogative. Vote for somebody else. Yeah. But to prevent her from running at all, I strongly disagree with
that. Now, the other thing is, in school, she said, oh, the cafeteria ladies are all behind me. She said, the teachers have been supporting her. She said, other staff members have been supporting her. She said, the security guards are supporting her, and even gave a ticket to two kids who called somebody the F word that day.
Good.
And she said, yeah, it was one of the gay kids, and somebody went up. And these tickets in Dallas public schools are real tickets that you have to pay real fines.
Yeah, you do.
And she said the security guards were going up to her and saying, you go. You know, this is a kid. Last week, and we'll talk a little bit more about suicides and what to do to prevent them. This is the polar opposite. Nobody's ever told her to do, that she couldn't do something, and nobody's going to.
This is just one of those examples. If you just let people be who they are, mm-hmm.
and it wouldn't have been in the news.
It wouldn't have been in the news in the first place. There's some other personal contacts. I know someone who's known this kid since junior high, and students have never had a problem with her. She's always gotten support for the most part from her peers and the teachers. So. So, yeah, it's no wonder that this kid has the confidence that she has. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's, I wish all gay and lesbian students had that confidence and that support around the nation.
Right. And you said also in Danny's school, he's a junior high school teacher mm-hmm. Here in DISD, that they had their junior high prom.
Well, they had their prom last
dance,
year.
Yeah.
And I remember he showed me some of the pictures from it, because, of course, he had the chaperone it. And there were two sets of same-sex couples.
Really?
Yes, and they were lesbian couples. And I go, oh, y'all had somebody bring same-sex dates. He's like, yeah. I go, nobody said anything as far as the staff. He goes, no, what are they supposed to say? He goes, it would have made much more problems had we said anything. Just let them bring them in. It's over with.
You know what?
And he's right.
A school dance.
And it's stealth lesbians. Come on. I mean, if it had been two sets of two, you know, male couples,
right.
They might have, somebody might have said something.
Somebody may have said something.
Everybody's like, oh, cool.
Yeah. You know something? I think they did the right thing. Not because I'm promoting anything, but because it's junior high school.
It's junior high.
How many kids, you know, that... they're just coming to terms with who they are. Some of them just aren't comfortable going out with boys. Some boys, girls, all the same thing at that. And they didn't have anybody else to go to the dance with. And had they made a big deal about it, they would have made these kids feel, let's say one of them is straight. They would have made these kids feel terrible.
Yeah.
And here it is. It's a three-hour dance. They went to the dance. Dance was over in 3 hours, didn't make the news, didn't make anything, and it wasn't, you know, if you're on the opposite side that this is just so terrible and nobody should be doing this, you're giving other kids the idea to do this if you let it get in the news.
Yeah.
And by the way, Andy, I love this kid, I really do. She said, well, I'm about to hire an attorney. She's 18, I love her. And she said, the principal said to her, or she said to the principal, you know, I could, or she said, I could take this to the media. And the principal said, you do, and I'll shut down your GSA, your Gay Straight Alliance, that they have in that school.
Wow, talking about a threat.
Well, and so she said, and I can get an attorney. I love her.
Well, it's in the media, and the ISD did issue a statement, and I don't have it in front of me, but they basically are defending the principal, saying that they stand behind Dallas. DISD is one of the few districts in the state of Texas that has a non-discriminatory clause in it that does include sexual orientation. But as far as something like this, they leave it up to the principal. It's the principal's decision.
And that's really what it was. It wasn't that they were supporting this decision. It's that they were supporting the principal.
Exactly.
And letting the principal make the decision. They weren't going to get into it on a district-wide level. But the other part of it was that school has such a strict anti-harassment policy. You know, I said to her, do you hear bullying in school? She said, you know, occasionally new kids in the school will start out with that behavior, and they learn pretty quickly that it's not tolerated here. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
This is an inner-city Dallas school.
It is.
That's not tolerated here. I said, so you don't hear those things? And that's when she told me about the security guards. And there, she said there are four or five guards who roam the halls during the day.
I'm sure they wouldn't like their job descriptions characterized in such a way. But
as roaming the halls? Just
that's what they do. They just roam the halls. Well, you know.
But giving tickets to kids for name-calling, including anti-gay names. It's not tolerated at that school. So the fact that the principal, who's new this year, she said the old principal would have had no problem at all, supported her all the way. It's a new principal, and not that she's tolerating, you know, anything different either, but I guess she drew a line.
Well, that's why I'm a little bit confused. And you said the runoff is what, tomorrow, you said?
The announcement of voting last week.
Yeah.
Okay.
The announcement, so there'll be three finalists. And at homecoming on Friday night, they'll vote to take a final vote. From among the three, they'll take a final vote.
Because unless the principal has changed his decision, it looks like, or sounds like what's going to happen is, regardless of how she came out, they're just going to leave her out.
We'll see.
You know,
we'll see.
Which would be, that's awful.
Well, if she doesn't win, if she actually, and she has friends who are on the counting committee. She knows everybody at this school. So she has friends who are on the counting committee. And if she gets a majority and is not placed in the top three, because the principal excludes
her. Well, yeah, they'll know it.
She'll know it, and
so she's got her little own PricewaterhouseCoopers.
Uh-huh.
Or whatever the order is.
Right, right, right. Uh-huh.
And if she doesn't get into the top three because an assistant principal was interfering, she's charging them with fraud. With voter fraud. You know what? This kid has learned so much in school. Give me a better civics lesson, Patty. You're involved with one of the political parties very heavily, aren't you?
Yes, and then with none of them, also very heavily.
Don't you wish more kids who were seniors in high school understood the concept of voter fraud, understood that a majority, the people who get the most votes, should move on to the final?
Just understood what a democracy was about at all.
Oh, exactly, exactly. I know adult voters who can't follow the process well.
Right.
Or read a sign.
Right. You know, because when it comes right down to it, why is this story important? It's not. It's Texas Friday Night Lights football. Right? That's what it comes down to. And that's why it's so important. Who represents the school? Because it's Friday Night Football. But this kid learned something about elections. And that's what school's about. Yeah, and I am so proud of her.
I am too.
I love this kid. I think she is just the shining example and the polar opposite of all these kids who are committing suicide. Why don't we go to the entertainment report?
Okay. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON. Well, that's not the...
In Fort Worth.
I can go with that.
well, we could, but we're going to go with the next one.
We're going to go with the next one. There we go. That's a little bit
better.
That's it. There we go. All right. Now, in light of the unfortunate news of late regarding LGBT youth suicides, here's some good news. The teenage girl from Mississippi who made the national news after her school banned her from bringing her prom date, her girlfriend, as a prom date, now that story is going to be made into a TV movie. The movie will air on ABC Family, which surprises me. I know ABC is really gay-friendly, but ABC Family... I've seen it. It seems to be a little conservative, so I'm surprised they're going to air this. And it's just
a perfect example of what we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. Had they just let her go to this three-hour dance, now this town is being vilified and being made to look like such idiots, just like the principal of this school is going to be made to look like an idiot because it's going to be an 18-year-old who's putting her in this position.
Yep.
But not just that. They didn't deny her right to participate, but they set up this the private focus. Bogus one, and invited her to this. I mean, it was far more than just that. There was a lot of shenanigans.
Of course it was, but had they just let her go in the first place, nobody would have heard of it.
Right.
And anybody who did, even if it had gotten into the news and we picked it up, look at this, in Mississippi, two kids went to the prom together. Now what else would we have said about it?
Yeah. Now, this is just one more unexpected triumph for the 18-year-old Constance McMillan, who she got in $35,000 out-of-court settlement from the Mississippi School District. And, of course, Ellen gave her $30,000 donation towards her college fund. Mm-hmm. So everything has turned out in this kid's favor, so good for her. First, it was Whoopi Goldberg. Now, actress Jodie Foster is taking some heat for defending Mel Gibson.
Oh, this is old.
But we haven't talked about it. I wasn't here. This just came out last week. I wasn't here last week.
It's been a while.
Okay, there's two. First, she did defend him back in 2001. Now she's defending him again for his recent comments about, the tapes they've been playing going off on his girlfriend or whatever. Well, I've seen on several gay websites, like, again, just this last week, that... How can you defend that, basically? You know, she said that he's not a racist. She said that when she met him, this is a man that she'll love for the rest of her life. But what do you all think about that?
Well, I think she has a good relationship with him.
She says that her friendship with him isn't, fly by night, and he's in trouble, so she's not going to run. She's going to say, I think he's a good man at heart. He's got issues.
Right. She says she hopes she can help him get him through this dark moment. I don't know. I understand standing by a friend. I really do. If one of you all were in some trouble, of course I wouldn't stab you in the back. But at the same time, if you were making comments like that, I'd be like, David, or Patty, is that what you really think?
Oh, when you're not on, we always make racist comments. You didn't hear the rest of us.
I was like, I'm surprised. Yeah, you're nice to me. But
here's another issue, though.
Not Jodie behind Foster, your back.
Jodie Foster just made a film.
Yeah, it's called The Beaver.
Called The Beaver, and it's about, they're holding off release because it's not an environment they want to release it in.
Exactly.
So it's a PR game, too. But I think she's genuinely his friend.
Well, I guess I just have a problem with them, she and Whoopi Goldberg, saying, look, he's a friend of mine. I don't know him like that, but they have yet to criticize what he said.
Well, I mean, these are just words, too. And, the assault charges haven't been proven in court. But look how many people lined up behind Roman Polanski. That's proven in court. conviction.
Good point. GLAAD just released their annual, again, this is last week's news also, but you want to talk about it. Just released our annual Where Are We on TV report, and HBO's Vampire Smash True Blood easily topped the list as the most inclusive program currently on television. They have 6 regular and reoccurring GLBT characters.
Well, and the whole thing's an allegory.
It is. It really is. It is.
It's Alan Ball.
Let's see here. The report also showed that LGBT characters will account for 3.9% of all 587 characters in 84 scripted TV shows. That's up from 3% last year. Now, on the downside of all of this, of all the 84 characters, LGBT characters on TV, not a single one is African American or transgender.
Wow.
So, not a single one. So, still some work to be done.
How many lesbians or vampires or serial killers? That's what I wanted.
Most of the lesbians I know.
No, I'm talking about TV character. Right. No, True Blood. They're going to be
Blood.
Some
uh-huh.
But that's what we've been portrayed of forever.
And last, one show that did feature not just one, but an entire cast, an all-gay cast of African-American gay characters, is the now-defunct show Noah's Ark. Now, the leading actor, Daryl Stevens, he just did an interview, and he finally has said why the show got canceled, because it was their number one show. And I guess there were some rumors that it was canceled because it was too black, which I never heard of that, but that's what he said. He said it was simply canceled due to budgetary issues. The show was just too expensive to produce. So there you have it.
For Logo, it probably was, because have you watched Logo lately?
Yes, and it's getting really disappointing.
How do I describe it? Cheap crap.
Yeah, it's
See, I never really watched Logo.
See, I did. I but you know what? I prefer Hear TV now.
Yeah.
Well, one more quick thing. This morning, I read on Facebook from someone who attended the Human Rights Campaign National Dinner last night in D.C. that Bette Midler introduced Pink. Hmm. And as she approached the podium, Bette Midler said, "I'm being misquoted by Perez Hilton as we speak." Anyway, quick funny.
And this is Lambda Weekly, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Election Day is less than 30 days away. The Texas Organizing Project, Mi Familia Vota, LULAC Council 4943, the Urban League of Greater Dallas Young Professionals, and candidates for governor, Democrat Bill White and Green Party candidate Deb Shafto, among others, will be having a nonpartisan candidates forum on Saturday, October 16th at 10 a.m. in Irving at Georgia Faro Rec Center, located at 530 Davis Drive. For more information or seat reservations, the number is 214-455-9115. That's 214-455-9115. KNON presents Blues and Barbecue in downtown Dallas at Pearl on Sunday, October 24th with the Wanda King Blues Band. Wanda King is Dallas blues royalty. She'll be appearing with her band featuring Joey Love. Wanda King is filming the show, so come on and be part of the video. Joining us will be very special guests, the Barton Street Blues Band, playing classic blues and great original songs. Joel Foy starts the show. It's an early show with doors opening at 5 p.m. and music going on until 9. Free barbecue will be served from the Alligator Cafe with Cajun brisket plates. Advance tickets are only $8 and available now at KNON.org, Forever Young Records, and at Pearl. It's a KNON Blues and Barbecue Benefit event at Pearl, 2038 Commerce in Dallas. The Wanda King Blues Band, the Barton Street Blues Band, Joel Foy, and free barbecue Sunday, October 24th at Pearl.
Friday, November 5th, it's a night with the greatest Russian rock and roll extravaganza to come through Dallas since the last time they came through Dallas. Igor and Red Elvises, your favorite band. Don't miss this or you'll forever be trying to make up for lost fun. Igor and Red Elvises at the Sons of Herman Hall in Dallas, Friday, November 5th. The doors open at 8 p.m. for all ages. Opening the show will be Tweed EQ. It's Weird Warren from KNON's own Sonic Burrito Show, and I'll be your master of ceremonies. Save money by getting your tickets now at KNON.org or Forever Young Records in Grand Prairie. The Sons of Herman Hall, located at 3414 Elm Street at the corner of Elm and Exposition in Dallas. Igor and Red Elvises and Tweed EQ, Friday, November 5th at the Sons of Herman Hall. This is a KNON benefit event. Get your tickets now.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
It's time for
those darn heterosexuals.
At an Orlando forum in May for county school board candidates, John Mark Coney took to the floor. After reading passages from the Bible, he emphasized his suitability for office by announcing that, at the age of 53, he's a virgin.
Oh, my. Republican Mark Kirk is running for Barack Obama's old seat in the Senate. He liked to brag about his 21 years of military service until he was caught in a lie. Quote, "I simply misremembered it wrong," he explained as he admitted he was not actually in the Iraq Desert Storm War, did not actually command the Pentagon War Room when he was assigned there as a Navy reservist, and was not actually once Naval Intelligence Officer of the Year.
But other than that, he was completely accurate. Here's an example of what we get with our all-heterosexual armed forces. An Oregon National Guardsman is appealing the garnishment of his disability checks. The government is trying to recover $3,175 from the soldier who lost equipment after he was hit by a sniper in Iraq. Despite his injury, some darn heterosexual believes he should have made arrangements for the safekeeping of his equipment during his hospitalization.
Wow.
Uh-huh. That's this week's
those darn heterosexuals.
And you know it had to be heterosexual because a gay couldn't have made that decision because we're not allowed to be in the military.
That's the point.
Oh, we're not there.
Yeah, yeah. We're not there.
Exactly.
La, 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 we're not there. Mm-hmm. Never have been. La, 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 la.
And, Patty, you're defending yourself for not being a witch, right?
Oh, yes, I am. I'm not a witch, and I don't think you want a witch.
And you're just like the rest of us.
Because that's a leading campaign issue on virtually everybody.
I like
you
Bill Maher's comment.
You need to declare one way or the other. And are you or are you not?
For anybody who did not hear her ad, she's running for senator from
Delaware.
Delaware. And there was something about she had dated somebody who, in college who was... So, of course, you know, she's running as an extreme right-wing candidate. And I guess, you know, witchcraft is a big deal. So she had to go on TV defending herself when that ad came out where it starts with, I'm not a witch.
I'm just like you.
Her popularity went down 15 points as soon as that ad came out or during
her
the
opponent, Chris Coons, is leading her dramatically.
Well, now. Yeah. Now. I mean, he was ahead before, but now he's just...
But this woman actually, you know, she's anti-masturbation.
She did a whole...
She's anti-gay. She believes gays can be cured. Just pray the gay away. you know, all of these... She's a witch. She's not a witch. Who knows? But all of these things make Sarah Palin look absolutely intellectual and sane.
Yes, isn't that sad?
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, yeah. Bill Maher had a good comment on her ad. He said, you know, the last time that was a campaign issue, you'd have to go back to Salem, Massachusetts in 1682.
Well, according to Kristen Wiig last night on SNL, mm-hmm. it was 1962. Oh. You have to go back to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I saw that. That was cute.
Okay, we were going to talk a little bit about suicide, but you had something that you wanted to. You had an announcement.
Yes. The Dallas Gay and Lesbian Alliance, along with quite a few organizing partners, are going to be having a rally this Friday, October 15th, from 6:30 to 7:30 at Lake Cliff Park down in Oak Cliff. And we're going to be rallying for a response to all of the cyberbullying and bullying. We need legislation in the state and action to empower teachers and faculty and staff and students and parents to stop this from happening in our school because it's epidemic. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely epidemic. People are losing their lives over it. So the rally will be this Friday at 6:30 to 7:30. So if you've got other plans, you can go, after the rally. But we also have Youth First Texas, Cathedral of Hope, Resource Center of Dallas, and quite a few others who are partnering.
And it is in... You said Lake Cliff Park?
Lake Cliff Park.
Which is just over the Jefferson Street Bridge in Oak Cliff.
Right. Right. So it's going to be a great place to rally. It's we're going to have some Roberto Alonso, representative, state representative.
He co-authored that bill last year.
Yes.
Last
He's
session.
He's been very informative and instructive on this issue. And, of course, other representatives, we're just trying to get some scheduling squared away. But we hope you'll come out and support that. Now, this evening there's going to be a vigil and a candlelight vigil on Cedar Springs in Dallas and to remember and mourn the loss of all of these kids. So then that's today's the 10th. So on the 15th, we're having a rally to say, let's take action. And on the 20th, there's a worldwide effort now to wear purple in solidarity with kids who were bullied and to recognize the kids that have been lost over this issue. Mm-hmm. So we got kind of rapid fire, isn't it? 10th, 15th, and 20th. We've got lots of stuff going.
Well, you said let's take action. Last week we talked quite a bit about what parents should do, what kids should do, if you see it in your friend. Let's take action. What are some things that we can do? Because we had a week to think about it now. And
some things that we're looking at to do is to handle it legislatively, to give backing to whatever teachers and faculty and staff and students and security guards do so that they can be empowered under the law to take action when they see bullying in progress or they hear about it. So that, you know, what we find is that a lot of school districts are very sort of lazy in a way because they say, well, we don't have a policy that allows us to do anything, so therefore we don't do anything. So, you know, because we might get sued. There's no policy that addresses this adequately, so we're not going to take any action.
Okay, so LaRon lives in a school district outside of Dallas. It's not a school district that has an anti-harassment policy in the same way that Dallas Independent School District does. If Gabrielle starts getting harassed because she has two dads, what do they do?
Well, I think the most important thing is, regardless of where it happens, because sometimes kids get the bulk of it on the bus, mm-hmm. and so you've got to involve the school bus driver and whoever runs the school bus system and, you know, I mean, all of that. So you've got to identify the parties, and you've got to talk about it, and you've got to name it for what it is. This is bullying, and it can't be, you just need to be nicer to Johnny or nicer to Gabrielle. Mm-hmm. That's not telling the kid what he needs to do differently.
I think beyond legislation, which absolutely is a must and needs to happen, but I think beyond that, there's a lot of discourse that needs to be on this subject because so many people, including teachers, just have the attitude about bullying that it's just one of those things you're going to deal with when you grow up.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of why you're being bullied, it's just something you got to deal with and you got to get through it. And that's so ingrained in, I think, our school society that I think it's going to take a while to flip that mentality. And so I think a lot of discussion needs to happen on that.
And there's a whole mentality that needs to be flipped as well, because we hear this really asinine, circular illogic that happens with many parents that say, well, if your kid weren't basically deserving of it,
exactly,
then he wouldn't get bullied. So mm-hmm. you need to stop him from being deserving of it. In whatever that might be,
right,
and that's an idiom that has to, or a whole mindset that has to go away, because it's not about, well, because like as if the bullying is inevitable, and it's justified and it's
exactly.
there and you just have to deal with it. So it's on the onus is on the kid who's getting bullied to change in some way, because the bullying is going to be there and we expect it, and it's just, you know, get over it.
So what do we do? North Dallas High School has a very strict anti-harassment policy that they are enforcing. And that was one thing about talking to Andy that I thought was very interesting, because her problem is this one issue running for homecoming queen. Other than that, she's as safe as can be in that school.
And Andy is a rare success and a rare fortunate place. I'm sure most biologically born boys who would go to school to start to wear makeup and wear dresses would be teased ad nauseum.
Of course.
And just like Patty said, the comments from the staff and teachers would say, well, what do you expect?
Okay, so here's my question. The school has a strict policy, and the kids are getting this from home. How do you go to the parents and say, no, that's not tolerated here in DISD?
Well, I think if you identify the source of the bullying, and the source is not the kid being bullied,
exactly.
period. The source of the bullying is the bully.
Exactly.
And if the bully is the problem, you start with where the problem starts, there. And if it involves parents, I think you have that dialogue with parents. I think a principal picks up the phone and calls a parent and says, your child is been engaged in bullying, and it's not accepted at our school, and we need to have a conference about this, so let's schedule it. How about 4:30? You know, and
right.
do it.
Right, and to get on it. You know, again, I wasn't here last week, but one of the things I want to talk about was that Lance Bass had admitted that when he was in school, he was one of the bullies.
Mm-hmm.
He would be one of the first kids to jump on the bandwagon and tease gay kids when, in fact, he's gay. Now, that doesn't surprise us. We know that a lot. Kids oftentimes hide behind that as a way to cover it up. So were either of you one of those type of
no.
gay kids?
Oh, no, not at all. And I think, in fact, Shelley Wright, when she came out on Oprah, she came out in a book, but she was talking on Oprah, and her father was in the front row, mm-hmm. and she talked about having treated gay kids growing up horribly because she wanted to make sure
that nobody thought she was.
Nobody, if she was most anti-gay, then nobody would be questioning her sexual orientation. So she said it was really a coping mechanism for her,
mm-hmm.
was to lash out at gay kids because it meant, you know.
My coping mechanism was I found the other gay kids in school and we were all friends with each other. And yes, that was 40 years ago.
You know, I was about to say, did you really have some kids that were openly
all
gay?
All my friends in school. Then, no, none of us were openly gay. We all came out in college.
Okay.
But this whole group of us who were friendly with each other, we all came out in college.
So you knew.
But you just knew.
Yeah.
You knew to each other.
Yeah.
Now, what about you? Were there in, like, even one individual that was openly gay when you were in high school?
No. But I went to a different kind of school.
True.
And it was very small. My class was only barely 50 people.
Oh, my God. That is small.
It's small. Mine but, you know, when I went back for my mumble, you know, high school reunion.
Okay, I'm going to say it. I have my 40th high school reunion coming up next year. It horrified me when people contacted me about it. Horrified. 40th.
Well, I went to my 20th 10 years ago. And, you know, I came out to my friends from high school, and they're like, oh, tell us something we didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so.
When I was in school, there was one girl who said she was bisexual. And it was kind of thought of as just kind of something cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's bi.
I'm really.
But that was about it.
I have to take a moment for being horrified as well. A friend of mine posted on Facebook that the other day when, you know, celebrating or recognizing the life of John Lennon, who had been killed on, December 7th, I think, in 1980, that he had just turned 4 when that actually happened. And I was just...
very upset.
Cough sputter.
Yeah, I know. At the beginning of the show, I asked Laurent, okay, do we have a John Lennon song to go out on? And
he's like, who?
No. I know who John Lennon is. And I knew that if he had lived, he would be 70.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the only reason he knows that is it's all over the news today. And all over the city, people are saying, who?
No. Danny is a diehard Beatles fan. That's how I know. And he brought it up.
The Beatles, they were the band before Wings.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, back to bullying.
But what are the common warning signs of bullying? If you, and I don't mean the warning signs of, oh, I'm being bullied. I mean for a parent to see that their kid is being bullied, for friends to see that a friend of theirs is being bullied. What are the warning signs to look for?
Oh, I'm no expert. I don't have a bullet list.
I think a lot of times there might not be any warning signs. So a lot of kids do cope and cover it up and go home and not say anything.
And some do and some don't.
Some don't.
And the warning signs that I've seen are things like withdrawing, depression, just all kinds of changes in behavior. Look for those and don't ignore them. You know, and what do? Call somebody.
I think that might be the key right there. Not necessarily withdrawn in depression, because any kid can go through that, but any change in their regular behavior. Mm-hmm. I think that might be something to pick up on.
Well, I would think if I'm a parent and my child is in school, I want to have that open line of communication about personal safety, period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And have that and check in on it. You got to put your toe in the water all the time. And it's not just about your peers, but about, you know, people maybe approaching you on the school campus in some way, you know, other adults and such. But that's the time to have the conversation and, you know, have that conversation and ask. And ask more than once.
And we'll keep talking about this. We're going out with music from
Katie Lang.
And we'll see you next week on Lambda Weekly.
Just a kiss, just a kiss, I have lived just for this. I can't explain why I've become a chatelaine. Just a smile, just a smile, hold me captive just a while.